All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, but we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given either by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. There are two difficult to understand passages that are in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, and in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, it's stated as this: let us not be weary in well-doing. And in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13, it's stated, be not weary in well-doing. You know, you would think that doing what's right would give us such a great feeling of accomplishment that we would never grow weary in doing it. And yet, God warns us, and the warning is not given without cause. Why? Well, we are often filled with the sense of what's the use when we fail to see the merit in doing what's right. You know, we look at others who aren't doing what's right, and they seem so happy, things seem to be appearing to go their way. In fact, David was like this. In the book of Psalms, in the 73rd chapter, let's begin reading with verse 3. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and the waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generations of your children. So we see that the wicked are victorious when we seem to be beaten down day by day. And David repeatedly prayed, how long, how long? We read that in Psalms 13, verse 2, and if we were to go another chapter from where we were here in Psalm 73, we would read it in verse 10, how long, how long? And yet, Acts 13, verse 22 says of David that he was a man after God's own heart. Well, David needed to be reminded, be not weary in well-doing. Have I hit a familiar chord? You know, I believe we are all struggling with this one, no matter how young or how old. And how well we give answer may determine whether we grow weary and fail to reap that home in heaven. We know when God is for us, no man can be against us. We read that in Romans chapter 3 and verse 31. And so in view of this, why does Satan win so often in the conflict with faithful Christians? Well, we need to consider that we are in Satan's territory. He has home field advantage, and we know that home field advantage is a definite consideration in sports, and certainly we need to give it consideration in the spiritual realm as well. This world is a carnal place, and some Christians, sad to say, are carnal. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." And in verse 3, he says, For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" And so this world is a carnal place, and far too many Christians are carnal. Satan has dominion over this carnal world. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, he is the god of this world. And so when spiritual conflicts arise, carnal minds are going to act in accordance to the rules that Satan has put into effect. While we must, as Christians, play by a different set of rules. Therefore, it's going to appear that right is losing and wrong is winning. And the reason it appears like this is because the final accounting hasn't been given. And yet, though we appear to be facing defeat, we are not to grow weary in well-doing. Then, too, God has forbidden us as Christians to use the implements of Satan. Although we live as human beings, and what I mean by that, we live in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, here's what we read in verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So we see then that our weapons of conflict are not carnal. The victory that belongs to Christians is in the spiritual. It's in the unseen world. So it's not in the realm of the seen, the realm of the carnal. And yet, these are the events that our eyes are always looking at. These are constantly around us to see. So if we're not careful, we tend to measure the outcome in carnal, temporal terms. And when we do this, Satan appears to be victorious. Another important thing to remember is that victory cannot be had until the conflict is over. And let us understand, the conflict is not over. Satan, because he is the god of this world, uses weapons and tactics that are not available to Christians. And so this within itself will always give the appearance that wickedness is dominant. But yet the telling blows are not going to be evident. For example, Christians are to always tell the truth. Always. We know that from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. There we are told, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." People of the world can say anything they want. They can do that at any time. They can say whatever they want under any circumstances. And they'll always be the ones that were going to come out looking better. Christians are to always be honest in everything. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, notice what we read in verse 17. "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. people of the world, they can be dishonest. They can be dishonest in whatever way they wish to be dishonest. And they'll always be the ones to come out looking good. So it is that this is why it is easy to grow weary in well-doing. This is why we are warned in Galatians 6 and in 2 Thessalonians 3 to not be weary in well-doing. Wicked people can literally get away with murder. But we must remember that they are not really getting away with anything whatsoever. The end has not been reckoned with. And that's what we go back and see David making mention of in that 73rd Psalm, though, as we go ahead and read verses 15 through 17. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I will have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood the end. So see, there it is. The end has not been reckoned with. It's a temptation to stop doing right and to do as the wicked do. They're prospering, they're happy, they've got it made. Life is fun. Life is fun and games with them. They really seem to be enjoying themselves, despite all of the bad things they do. They lie, they cheat, they curse, they drink, they do drugs. They have exciting love life, go where they want to go, do what they want to do. They come and they go as they please. They wear their hair the way they want to. They dress the way they want to. So they don't have to worry about what's right or wrong. You know, we think, wow, what freedom. But friends, final judgment will see the forces of evil swept away into oblivion. Satan may appear to be winning, and he is right now. But his victory and those with him are strictly short-term. It is the short-term that I'm using that phrase when you compare it to eternity. That's what we have to look at. That's what we have to look forward to, and we must never lose sight of eternity. We must not trade a victory now for eternity. The latter end makes serving the Lord worth it all. Even though we must suffer those fiery darts of the wicked in the meantime. Paul talked about this in Ephesians 6, when he said in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. So it is then, as we have seen in Galatians 6, and also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, let us not be weary in well-doing. And let's remember what the rest of that verse says. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. That's what we must keep in mind at all times. Though what we see with our eyes, let us understand that our reward is something that is yet to come. Their reward, of those that we look at and see, their reward is yet to come. We must recognize and always consider things from the perspective of the end. There is where the victory will be. We see our time is gone. We thank you so much for listening. We hope that you tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.